Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendez. On this week's show, we will of course be looking ahead to Saturday's home clash with Lincoln City. Joining me to do just that, first up, Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lou?
Yeah, good mate, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Back from that stag weekend you're at last weekend, in still in one piece?
Just about, mate. Yeah, I'm still struggling, to be honest, which shows I'm getting too old.
Getting too old for this rubbish, that's what. That's,
exactly.
I nearly swore on my own podcast there, but I managed to save myself. Someone who, I dare say, will swear between now and the end of the show is and back from Jamaica, finally. Nathan Muller back in the UK. How you doing?
Airy. Yeah, I'm good, mate. No, it's good. I had a good time, buzzing, living the dream. You know, book me next one. You know, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. So, listen, I won't swear. Of course, I've never swore. I swore once.
Yeah, on a live show.
Yeah, that was a live show, but that was because I had to run from the train.
Well, yeah, but specifically, I told you not to swear, and the first thing you did was swear on a live show.
Well, you know, you can't take me anywhere, Lou, you know me.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah, that's probably why Jamaica sent you back. But I hope you had a good time and didn't miss the Addicts too much. So on this week's show, as I said, we're looking ahead to the game with Lincoln City. We've got the thoughts of Johnny Jackson ahead of that match, of course. The Addicts boss had his press day earlier on today. You got some of your tweets and emails. We've got a bit more from Jacko as well. I jumped on the end of the presser towards my lunch break today and asked a couple of questions. There's a few things, isn't there, this week that's popped up, including, of course, the Niall John situation. Football Insider reporting that Tottenham aren't happy that we've taken the young lad on loan and then not given him a minute of football just yet. So I asked Jacko about that. We'll hear what he has to say on that. Also asked him about the fact that we're very close to hitting three digits for yellow cards this season. So we'll talk about that. We've also got Mark Wiley from the Lincolnshire Echo is going to tell us all about the Imps season this year. Obviously, beating playoff finalists last year hasn't gone quite as well for Lincoln this year, but we'll hear from Mark later on in the show a little bit about them. So, I mean, before we look ahead to the game ourselves, let's hear what Johnny Jackson has to say about it. Obviously, we're coming into the game on the back of three wins, three clean sheets as well, four clean sheets out of our last five. A decent little run the Addicts are on now has taken us away from the relegation zone. But of course, that 1-0 win up at Doncaster last weekend should have been by a lot more, but we were very wasteful in front of goal. So the Addicts boss knows that we'll have to be a lot more clinical against the Lincoln side, who have one of the better defensive records in the bottom half.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have to take our chances, know that we might not, they might not come as frequent as they did at Doncaster. You know, they're Lincoln, they've got a decent defensive record there. So, yeah, when they do come along, and they will, we'll create, we have to, in those moments, yeah, we have to be more clinical. And obviously, something that we've spoken about and worked on. Obviously, you just need the lads, you know, in them situations, they have to take their chances. So, yeah, we have to, hopefully, that was a one-off. And when they do come along this time around, we'll put them away.
Did you have a word with Connor after the game? I mean, normally you could put your mortgage on him scoring penalties, but just didn't hit it right. It just didn't seem to go right as soon as it left his foot.
It's, yeah, it can happen. You know, penalty takers are always going to miss penalties. It's going to happen, you know. I took penalties myself. You know, you miss some. That's the nature of it. You know, you're not going to score every single one. But, you know, he's been reliable from the spot in the past for us, and he'll continue to be. You know, it's just, as a striker who takes penalties, comes with the territory. You know, you just dust yourself down. When the next one comes along, you step up and you try and score that one. And listen, he's doing some great work for the team. You know, even when he's not scoring goals, he you know, he contributes a lot to the team. So no issues there with Connor.
In terms of injuries, aside from the long terms we know about, is everyone okay? Did he come through okay? And did Chris Cantley come back from Wales? Duke, the Welsh Duke, yeah, okay. And great that we saw Jake getting 90 minutes for the under-23s. Did he come through that okay?
Yeah, everyone's come back, come through the game last weekend fine. Chris Gunter played 60 minutes for Wales during the week, and he came through that fine, trained today. And Jake came through his 90 minutes fine. Great that he got a whole game in now. It's three games that he's played for the 23s, and yeah, he came through that and trained today as well.
Just finally from me, you've just recently done an interview and you mentioned about the ups and downs in your short time as manager, and maybe that it was a tougher gig than perhaps you was expecting. Is the coming weeks with the seven games we got left potentially going to be a little bit tougher as well? Because if we get to a point where it's probably going to be a little bit like mid-table obscurity, you've got to try and get the players up for playing for when there's not a lot at stake.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, that's my job as a manager, is to try and motivate them. But I always say that, you know, as a footballer, you shouldn't need motivating. You're in it to do well and to win games. So every time, you know, you cross the line, for me, every player should be doing his utmost to put in a performance and to, you know, give everything for the shirt and to win. That's ultimately what we're all in it for. So, yeah, it'd be my job to motivate them. But for me, that motivation should come from within as well.
There we go. That's Jacko looking ahead to the game on Saturday at the Valley, Lincoln City. It was a good question at the very end there, from Terry Lewis, asking about, you know, the motivation now, because the season's over. As we've been saying for a number of weeks, really, we're just counting down the days to the end of the season, which is not a great place to be in, but at least we're not getting sucked into the relegation worries we had a few weeks ago. But, you know, where's the motivation going to come from now? That's the problem. Obviously, Jacko said it's up to him to make sure these players are motivated. And as we've said, that a lot of them are still playing for their futures as well. So even though it's very much a dead rubber, and the last few games will be, there is still something that these players have to prove. And it is up to Jacko to make sure they give him 120% as well.
Yeah, exactly that. I think the motivation alone is just going to be players that are going to be playing for their future. You know, we've got quite a few people out of contract in the summer. I imagine there'll be quite a bit of movement of people coming and going, a bit of a rebuild. But that's really the motivation at the moment, is for those players proving that they deserve to be here and they want to be here. And also finishing the season as strongly as possible, given, you know, the sort of consistently poor sort of run we've had this year. You know, that didn't start very well. Then we had that sort of lift in the middle when Jacko was caretaker. And then it's been sort of much of a muchness again, really not really being good enough. On a bit of a positive run at the moment, which is good. You know, three wins on the spin. And that's good. It's given everybody a bit of a lift. And I think the motivation now is just to finish the season as strongly as possible, get as high a place finish as we can, and maybe try and put the disappointment behind us and try and kick on for next season and see who wants to be part of that journey under Jacko next year.
I mean, we hope the players aren't on the beach like you have been, Nathan. But, you know, I mean, you've missed the last few, so you've probably come into it pretty low morale-wise when it comes to Charlton. But yeah, we do need this strong end to the season. It's something we've been talking about a lot, and it's something that Jackson, you know, I'm not suggesting that the players will consciously take their foot off the pedal, but now we are safe, there is that danger. I mean, it used to happen all the time in the Premier League.
Well, exactly. I think, I hope they don't, you know, spend their time on the beach or the pitch, because, they look a lot better than I do on the beach, I'll tell you that. But I think like you said, they're playing for their futures. And even though I was away, I watched the midweek game. I can't remember which one it was now. I think it was Gillingham. And then obviously listened to the Burton and the Donny game and the Accrington Stanley game when I was away. So, yeah, it was a bit disappointed. Got better in the end. But, you'd think that not only that they're playing for their futures, but playing for pride, you know. They've got a good job, you know. I think there's many of us out there who wish we could be in their position playing for, not even just playing for Charlton, but playing football in general. So
there were times this season where I thought you could have been in the team, Nathan, as well, to be fair.
Well, when we were really bad.
Yeah, I'm not implying when we were very good, obviously. No, exactly. Your greased up beach body in the midfield.
Oh, that's an image, isn't it? But yeah, like, listen, they've got to have to play for pride for themselves, for their contract, whether that's here or somewhere else, you know. So there's the players out of contract, there'll be teams watching them to say, well, you know, do we want to get one of our players out of contract and they've got, if they want to stay, they're going to have to prove to Jacko. So hopefully it doesn't, but there will be, like you say, that dead rubber feel towards the end of the year, like it did a lot in the Premier League days, where we seem to tail off quite a lot. So, but yeah, hopefully we can go there. I'm looking forward to it. I've not been down there for a while, so catch up, and hopefully we can just maybe sprinkle a couple of, maybe Niall John will get a game. Maybe we've got some fringe players who need some minutes, and hopefully end the season on a high and be positive for once in the summer. And yeah, then we'll be disappointed again come September.
Yeah, that's the cycle, isn't it? It's the life cycle of being a Cheltenham fan. Positivity going into the season, disappointment at varying stages throughout the season, and almost always at the end as well. But not, I mean, we're not on a bad run at the moment, Lewis. There is that little bit of momentum of those three victories in a row, and hopefully that will sort of bring a bit of a lighter mood around the place, because, you know, up until the last couple of home games, you know, things haven't been going great. And then we got those two wins at home in a row, and that one at Donny last week. And it has lifted spirits a little bit, and it has taken some of the misery away from supporting Charlton.
100%. Yeah, and not just the three wins, but the three clean sheets as well. You know, defensively, really, most of the season, to be honest, hasn't been good enough. There's been some criticism of McGilvray over the last sort of month or so. So to have these three victories on the spin, plus those three clean sheets, you know, it would do the world of good for those players. And the confidence will definitely lift. And yeah, maybe the pressure's off a little bit, that there's nothing to play for. You know, we're not going to go down, and we're definitely not going to go up. So maybe they're playing with that little bit of freedom now. And as we say, that to try and prove that they do want to be here next year. Wrongly, we probably will get some of the better performances out of players now, because they are playing for their futures. There's players that are, as I say, free agents in the summer. There's players on loan that are going to be free agents in the summer that might think that this is the place they want to settle. There's a lot of, you know, the players have to earn their way and have to earn a contract. And Jacko really has said many a time previously over the last couple of weeks that, you know, if you want to be here, you've got to show you want to be here. And especially going on a journey next season, you've got to prove that you want to be a part of that, and you've got to work as part of that. And there's a lot of work to be done with some of these players. So, yeah, it's you know, yeah, a bit of a dead season now, let's be honest. But I'm going to enjoy the last couple of games with the pressure off, and hopefully we see some good performances. And like Nath said, a couple of fringe players come in as well and get some minutes.
So, I mean, Nath, you were just about back in the country for the Doncaster game, so I guess you were following it on the radio rather than watching. But, you know, the running theme throughout that game was missing chances. We heard Jacko there talking about how we have to be a lot more clinical in front of goal this Saturday. You know, Lincoln, I mean, they've got, I think, the third best goals against column in the bottom half, which, again, isn't like the most, so it's not an Oscar. You know, Will Smith isn't going to come and slap it out of their hands at any point. But there are slightly tighter at the back than Doncaster, for example. So we do need to be on it. It was such a weird day, but it's not one you expect from Jaden and Connor. So I'm quite happy to put that down as like a one-off. I don't think that will happen again and again. Tends to be they will have a better chance conversion rate than they had last Saturday, and hopefully starting tomorrow, you know, with the home game against Lincoln on Saturday this coming week.
Yeah, we'd hope so. I think it wasn't so long ago when we went, you know, when we didn't have any forwards at all apart from Mason, and we weren't creating any chances at all. And understandably so in some games. I know I was mentioning on a couple of occasions maybe trying to change it up a little bit just so we can try and get some impetus in the final third. But, you know, any team with losing three, you know, good strikers, you're going to suffer. So, yeah, it wasn't, I mean, obviously, like you say, I was listening to it, and, you know, he sounded, you know, so much on top in the first half, a bit shaky in the second half, but that's the way we do it. We seem to invite pressure. But, yeah, so we went from a stage of not creating anything to now obviously creating quite a lot and not being clinical. And, yeah, I'm with you there, mate. I think it's just, you're going to get those games. Look at the Italy game. You know, we're there against Macedonia, had 32 shots and didn't score one. So it does happen to the best of players in the world. So, yeah, wasn't clinical enough. And Jacko said that in his post-match. But I'm not going to get worried too much. But, yeah, it's the main thing is that we're in the right position. So that's cliche. But on Saturday, we were playing some nice stuff by the sounds of it. And Jacko said that in his post-match as well.
And we have got those three clean sheets in a row, four out of the last five. Doesn't feel like we've been giving up as many chances, especially in the last three. I think the one of those four out of the last five, I think, included that Sunderland game where perhaps we did give up a lot of opportunities. But, you know, that is something that has had to vastly improve. And I guess, actually, I think Jaden Stockley coming back into the side will help that in terms of set pieces, and Craig McGivray being a little bit more confident to try and come off his line. He's half missed a couple, that's happened, but he's becoming more of a presence inside his 6-yard box. You know, all these things are just starting to edge in the right direction and giving us that platform to build upon, which we've needed for a long time, Lewis.
Yeah, we have. It's been a real downfall, the inconsistencies throughout the team. You know, we've really, I think the biggest highlight when you think about it is the fact that when we all talk about a potential player of the year, I think every Charlton fan has the same name on their lips. And that shows probably some of the inconsistencies among other members of the squad, because there have been some good performances. I'll pick Craig McGilvray as an example. You know, early on in the season, there were some very good performances, and then his performances dipped. And it's happened a lot with a lot of players. So it's something they've obviously needed to work on. The inconsistencies have really cost us this season. We've been on some really poor runs of form, and it's been difficult. And it's been difficult to be a fan and watch it, obviously. But there's talented players out there, and you know, to see them playing with a bit of confidence now, albeit a little bit too late. But to see them playing with confidence now, you know, hopefully the ones that want to be here next year can finish strongly and have a decent summer of preparation, and we can try and iron out some of these sort of silly mistakes and silly errors, and have a real go at it next season. I think that ultimately that's the aim now, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Now, I mean, Lincoln coming into town, not been the greatest of seasons for them. After last year, we're going to hear from Mark later on in the show from the Lincolnshire Echo, who will give us a little bit more details about them. But, you know, I mean, there will be tough cookies for us, Nathan. You were at the game up at Sinsel Bank under Nigel, where, I mean, we lost 2-1 last minute, but it was an inevitable defeat from about 20 minutes in. We were dreadful in that game. He was one of Nigel's last in charge. So we know they've got ability. I think they've only won 2 of the last 10 or so. So they're on a very poor run. Find themselves 9 points above the relegation zone. In a similar situation to what we were maybe a week or so ago, you know, there's a reasonable gap there. And probably if you look at the form of the likes of Morecambe and Wimbledon, nothing too much for them to be concerned about. But they'll be disappointed with how this season's gone, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've got some good players. Like you said, we was up there for the reverse fixture, and I think that was the game where we tried playing Charlie Kirk and Jonathan Lecco as a 10, which was interesting to watch. But and they did score last minute, but I don't think we deserved anything from it, to be honest. But yeah, I think they'll be quite disappointed. They've got some good players. I think McGrandles ran the game when we lost up there. They got John Marquise. I think Morgan Whittaker, I think he's on loan from Swansea, and they've got some good forward line players. And Scully, I don't know how he's done this year, but obviously he was one of their better players in previous seasons. So I think they'll be quite disappointed, considering they're or thereabouts in the playoffs. They've sort of just been a bit inconsistent, a little bit like us, really. On paper, we should be doing better than we should be, or that we have done, rather. So yeah, it'll be an interesting time. I think, obviously, we touched on it earlier, that playing with a bit of freedom. It's games like that where you probably let your expansive players for both sides probably get on the ball a little bit more, be expressive. So hopefully it'll be a good game, but who knows? It'll probably end up being 0-0. But no, they've got some good players. Marquise, obviously, there's a history there with Doncaster and Millwall and whatnot. But yeah, I'm hoping for a good game, but definitely I think they'll be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, team news-wise from us, Lewis, Jake back in the squad possibly. You know, he's had that 90 minutes now. I'll be surprised, I think, if he's not on the bench. You know, there's certainly hope for that. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about Niall John not featuring much. But again, I can't really think of any changes. Would that be 3 games in a row that you wouldn't want to make any changes now? Or possibly even 4? I'd have to go back and check my notes. But, you know, the team is playing well. And unless there is an injury that we're not aware of, I just can't see what you'd want to fiddle with at this moment in time.
Yeah, I wouldn't change it at the moment. It's a team that have, you know, they're churning out decent performances, clean sheets. So defensively, you probably wouldn't want to make any changes. You know, they see the difference of having Connor and Jaden both back. You know, their partnership's important. Corey obviously has come back in and been outstanding, sort of 3 games on the spin as well. And seeing a lot more from Scott Fraser as well. So I wouldn't really change it, if I'm honest. But I think you're right. I'd love to see Jake Forster-Casca on the bench at the weekend. I think if anything, that's the main thing I'm looking forward to these last couple of games, is seeing Jake back playing, because, you know, he was really important for us last season. And whenever he does play for us, he's always, you know, always puts in the performances, always plays well. And he's been so unlucky with his injuries that, you know, I think one positive to come out of this is if we can get back playing. And, you know, I don't know what the contract situation will be with him, but I'd like him to stay and play next season, because I think to replace a player of Jake Forsterkaski's caliber, take injuries out of it, will cost you a fortune. So if we can get him fit and get him playing, he could be really key for us next year. So I'd be interested to see how much he features between now and the end. But apart from seeing him come into the matchday squad, I can't see any changes in that 11 at all.
Lovely stuff. Right, I did ask for your views on the game coming up at the weekend, if they wanted to see any changes as well. Jonathan says no changes hoped for. No hope as well, though. Okay, Jonathan. And also, we got an email in from Clive with a talking point as well. It says, "Dear Louis, much praise was given to Corey Blackett-Taylor on Sunday. I don't think it's a coincidence that his form has coincided with Ben Purrington playing behind him. This combination has given Corey Blackett-Taylor more freedom to take on defences, knowing that Purrington understands the whole left-hand side. Is that worth a discussion?" Yeah, it was a good point. I mean, Nathan, you know, when Pap Suare was being played on in the left wing back role and Purrington was playing left centre back as he has last couple, you know, I was very frustrated because, you know, Suare wasn't adding anything to the team whatsoever, and we were missing out with Purrington, who was actually getting up and down the left hand side with some you know, some success. But now you've got Corey Blackett-Taylor. I mean, if you were to point a gun at my head and say, who would you like to see marauding up and down the left? I'd probably choose Corey Blackett-Taylor over Ben Purrington every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So, I mean, it does seem to be a partnership that's worked. And, you know, obviously you're asking Ben to play in a slightly unfamiliar role as a left centre-back. But, you know, when he's got someone like Corey in front of him who's getting up and down well, and Ben seems to be doing the defensive part of it well, then I think we found a bit of a winning formula there.
Yeah, of course. I think the one positive, I think, from the formation that Jacko's trying to build is the fluidity of it. I've spoke about it a couple of times this season, but even though we probably start as a three at the back, you can transition to a four where you'd have, if you're going to focus it on that left-hand side and try and get focus your attack and play down the left-hand side, Ben can come out to a left-back and everyone just shuffles across, more or less. So Matthews could sort of sit a bit deeper, and then you've got Claire in the other centre-half. And then Corey can go and do what he wants. And then you could do that, the flip side, where obviously Ben will tuck in. So it's so fluid. But yeah, I agree. He's obviously doing really well at the moment. I think Brownie said it on the comms on Saturday against Donny. It's just like every time I watch him, it gets to 70 minutes. And I'm just like, well, let's just be careful with him. You know, because he's obviously got issues with his hamstrings, so we just want to try and keep him fresh, because it just sounded like, and when I watched back on the highlights, they just couldn't deal with him. It's just a shame, really. We don't really have that same effect with Jai Asimi. He doesn't really offer that much as a wing-back role. So, yeah, I agree with Corey there. He definitely is an outlet. And when Suare was in there, and, you know, like you say, imagine, I don't know if people remember Dan Seaborn or Gary Borodale. Imagine having one of those as your left back and the same, and one, or I don't know, Borodale was a left back and Seaborn as a left wing. It doesn't really feel, give you much things to sort of whet your appetite, sort of thing. So, yeah, no, I think Corey's done really well. And I just think having that explosive pace is so rare, and it's so important at this level, because we're not blessed with it. You know, we look across the squad, we're not blessed with it, apart from Connor. Connor's got some quick feet, but he's so key in getting in behind. And defenders don't know whether to get too tight. They gave him too much space on Saturday, I thought. But you get too tight and he can just knock it past you, and then you're a goner. Then you're sort of eating mud. So, such a key player. And obviously, I think as our form's increased, it's the correlation of Corey playing well is there for everyone to see.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's have a break. When we come back, we shall hear a little bit more from the gaffer, Johnny Jackson.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara, now sends Washington on that right hand side. He's in space. Washington into the area he goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can. Oh, Connor Washington puts on, tune it up. And could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow is in the middle, but Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Louis Mendes, Lewis Catt and Nathan Muller looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Lincoln City. Don't forget the Charlton Athletic women are in action on Sunday. It's a local derby away at London City Lionesses. They play down at Prince's Park Stadium down at Dartford. 2 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. So make sure you get down there and support the girls. So narrowly beaten by Palace and extremely unlucky. And I went to that game last Sunday. They had enough chances to win it, let alone maybe even come back and take a point from it. So hopefully they'll fare a bit better against the other South London side in London City Lionesses on Sunday. Right, Johnny Jackson, I spoke to him earlier on today during press day. And now there's a report this week from Football Insider saying that Tottenham Hotspur aren't happy that Niall John has been sent out on his first senior loan to the Valley. He's 18 still. Come out to the Valley, hasn't played a single minute of senior football for the club. And Football Insider reporting that Spurs are not very happy with that. So I asked Jackson about that report earlier on today. And is it a case that he has to be wary of upsetting the other clubs and that they might not want to send us their players if we don't play them to the extent that they would hope that we do?
Yeah, obviously, it's from Tottenham's point of view, they'll be disappointed that he hasn't played more minutes. But, we have looked after that. We've done everything sort of right by as far as his care. So, they are in good hands, I believe. All these lads, when they come to us, they're in good hands. Obviously, they would have liked him to have played more. I understand that. It just, for various reasons, hasn't happened that way. But yeah, obviously, you are aware of the relationships, and we want good relationships with Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, especially those, all those Premier League clubs, but especially the London ones, I would say, where we've got a good record as well with the loans. So, all right, they're not every single one is going to work out, but I would say, on the whole, especially over recent seasons, that our record of our loanees has been excellent. And despite it, hasn't worked out so far for Niall, I would say that Charlton's a great club for Premier League teams to send their youngsters to. So I don't think anything's changed as far as that's concerned.
There we go. That's Jacko talking about Niall John. I mean, we'll speak about the player specifically in a few moments' time, Lewis. But we have had a very good record overall with our Premier League loanees. Now, of course, when it comes to loan players and young players, they don't always work out. And for all the Conor Gallaghers that you could list, probably a Dylan Levitt or, unfortunately, a Niall John that's there to sort of counter it as well. But, for all those ones that haven't worked out, we do still get the players. So, I mean, are you overly concerned that we've had one or two, obviously with Juan Castillo as well, we've had one or two that haven't really worked out this year? Are you concerned that could affect us next year when we go cap in hand again, looking for some bodies to boost the squad?
Not really, no. I mean, it's a shame it's not quite worked out for Niall. But you only have to look at, as you say, our record with loan players. I mean, even of recent history, the likes of Conor Gallagher, the likes of Josh Cullen, Christian Bielik, you know, just to name those three, all of them left us better players and have gone on to do great things, you know, ignoring the fact that Conor plays for that lot down the road. You know, they've all gone on and become better players because of their time at Charlton. And, I you know, as you say, sometimes it doesn't always work. You know, we've had loan players signed before that have come with, you know, decent pedigree and recommendation, if you like. Like, you know, Emmanuel Frimpong, he came with a big reputation, was a big disappointment. You know, it does happen, sadly. I'm maybe a bit surprised I've not seen Niall given more of a chance because of the dip of our form and the way that we've performed before this run, that maybe there may have been a chance to throw him in. But at the same time, it's quite a hostile and difficult atmosphere to chuck a young player into. So I think you take the welfare in one hand and the playing time in the other. But, you know, of course, it's a shame it's not worked out for him. I'd like to see him between now and the end of the season. But unfortunately, you know, the football has to come first. And if Jacko's putting out a team that he thinks is the most likely to get him a result, especially when we're in a bad run of form and we needed to get out of that, then, you know, it is what it is. And someone has to be the person that misses out. And, you know, sadly, it has been Niall. And for the most part as well, it's also been Juan Castillo.
Yeah, I mean, with the player specifically then, I don't know how much you knew. I mean, I didn't really know a great deal about Niall before he joined the club. You know, highly rated at Spurs in the youth ranks. Would you like to see a bit more of him between now and the end of the season? There's that question, isn't there, Nathan, about are you bedding in your own players now? Now that there's nothing really left to play for, do you bed in your own youngsters? Or do you take advantage of the fact that you've got someone on loan from Spurs and bed them in for Spurs, effectively? You know, that you don't want to risk sending your own players in too soon when they're not ready. We've seen that over the years as well, and that can dent their confidence. So, you know, there's a balance in that, but also, you know, it would be nice to see if this kid's any good, and maybe, you know, if we played him between now and the end of the season, maybe we could trick Spurs into sending him again next year if he turns out he's quite good.
Well, exactly. I think there's so many branches and so many points about this loan which hasn't worked, which you could probably argue. I mean, obviously, I've not gone and seen him regularly. Obviously, I know you play under Jose against Wolfsburg in Austria and the Europa, and under Nuno against, I can't pronounce the name, some Portuguese Ferreira team or something. So they've already got potential. He's obviously got some sort of pedigree, you know, playing in a team with Brian Hill and Harry Winks and stuff like that. So, but then, as you know, if you both have mentioned, we don't really know. We're not privy to the information in training. Has he performed in training? Has he performed in under 23 games? And if he hasn't, then he doesn't deserve to start or get any minutes. I am surprised we've not seen him at all, not even 10 minutes here or there. But, you know, we came in and we went through a bit of a rough patch. And, you know, for his first senior loan, I know Gallagher was different, but that was the start of the season when we got him, and he obviously flourished. But, you know, bringing a young kid in to, when we're really down on form, and it can dent them, as we've seen before. So, but who knows? It might be that he's going to try and bed him in now. It might be, for all we know, going, well, we want him to be part of the squad next year, so we're not actually that worried about it. But we don't really know. But I'd like to see him. He's got promise. I've got some Spurs friends, and they think highly of him. But, you know, as Lewis said before, some work out and some don't. Dylan Levitt was promised, you know, been, you know, raved about by Nicky Butt, who's the head of development up there, or technical director, I can't remember which one, but, you know, and he didn't work out. He said he was too slight. So some work, some don't, and it's just the way it goes. But hopefully it doesn't dent any, you know, relationships with Spurs, because obviously Paoli's there. But yeah, things happen. But hopefully he can get some sort of cameo appearances now that we're sort of safe from the drop, and he can express himself, because he must have some sort of pedigree.
Lovely stuff. Right, another player who I asked Johnny Jackson about today is the defender Sam Lavelle. And of course, I've spoken on the last few weeks about how I still haven't really made my mind up on him, really. Of course, you know, he came in I think it might have even been deadline day we signed him, and he played a few games before getting injured. It may well have been away at Lincoln, actually, or around that time. I remember he scored the goal against Lincoln, didn't he, late on to haul us level before we went on to concede. So maybe a game or two after that, he got injured and he was out for a long time, over 4 months. Before coming back into the side. Now, the last three games, he's been the defender in the middle of that back three, right at the centre. So, effectively, leading the defensive line for Johnny Jackson. So, I asked the Addicts boss what he's made of him since he's come back from injury.
I think he's improving with every game, to be honest. I think when he first come back, struggled a little bit, as in, you know, didn't have that match sharpness and he missed a big chunk of football there. So, it's difficult when you've been out that long to sort of come straight back in. And obviously, he was on a sticky period there. So, I think he's improved with every performance. I thought last week at Donny was perhaps his most complete performance in the Charlton shirt so far. So I think it's great that he's moving in the right direction. I think he'll be a big player for us in the future. He's a great lad, great character around the place, a leader on the pitch. You know, he captained Morecambe, so he very vocal, and he's someone that's I think he's doing really well over the last few weeks.
There we go. So, I mean, Jackson said it himself. He felt, you know, immediately when he came back, it still took Sam Lavelle a little while to get up to speed. And I do remember, I think it was the Sunderland game at home where he had a couple of nervy moments and headers back that didn't quite come off. But he feels he's grown into it now. It's still a long way to go for Sam with his pedigree as the captain of Morecambe and, you know, what he achieved getting out of League Two. We need to see a long run from him, but I am still saying that between now and the end of the season, if he holds down that centre of the back three place for the rest of the season now, then we'll know a lot more about him and know whether we can have the confidence in him that he could be a defender that could lead a defensive line that's hoping to look for promotion next season, Lewis.
Yeah, 100%. And as you say there, there's obviously a lot of expectation maybe with him because he's been a captain and he came with such a good reputation that, you know, seeing him come back in. I mean, I've been a big fan of his this season. Again, I haven't seen much because, as you say, 4 months out is a hell of a long time in a season to miss. And you're right, he came back against Sunderland and definitely had some shaky moments. But I think it's probably the first time he's played in this system where he's maybe been the middle of a three. I think, you know, mainly under Nigel, he played in a four with like Akin or someone, where at the moment he's playing with two sort of people that are playing really not in their main position, in Sean Clare on the right and as we said about Purinton earlier, playing on the left side. So maybe there are a few things there, maybe a bit of team bonding maybe between those three, a bit of a relationship to build up. But, you know, he can only improve. And I think, as you say, if we see a decent run of him now between, you know, now and the end of the season, you know, he has got that sort of leadership quality because of being captain at Morecambe. It may be that, you know, with Piercy coming to the end of his career, he could be a natural leader replacement for him. You know, I see a lot, actually, of Jason Pierce attributes in the way Sam Lavelle plays. So, you know, it could be that, you know, it could be a long-term investment for us where we've got someone in, he's young and, you know, he's obviously got the pedigree and the leadership skills to do so. So, yeah, I think, as you say, he needs to finish strongly. And if he does so and holds down that position, then we're going to see a lot of him between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that Lewis makes there about a long-term sort of investment for us at the centre-half position, because I'm looking at our list of defenders. You know, Piercy not going to be around for a great deal longer. Ryan Innes, you know, be shocked if he gets a new contract, unfortunately, given his injury record. Akinfenwo, Loney, hasn't featured much recently. Will he be offered a chance to stay at the Valley? Not really sure, based on what we've seen in the second half of this season. Obviously, there's Deji Alereway as an option going forward. But in terms of long-term defensive mainstays, you know, I think Sam's probably the only one we can actually lay our hats on at the moment. As I said, the other ones have all got reasons why they might not be around even next season or certainly in the longer term than that. So it's an opportunity for Sam to try and make a name for himself here and to make that sort of, you know, that place in the team as the leader in the defence. So this is his chance, and it's whether he's going to take it or not, which I'm still uncertain on, Nave.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that's probably one of the main reasons we did sign him, for his leadership and, you know, how he organises defence. I think he started at Bolton, didn't he, and got a bad injury, but I didn't really see much of him before. The only time I saw him was in the semi-final playoffs and then the final against Newport, which I thought we'd done very well in. And he's come to us as, you know, you both said, of good reputation, leads the defence. And I think it probably is something that, you know, give him a good run of games. He's been out a long time, probably still a bit rusty. And yeah, it is a chance for him to sort of try and be that number one central defender, if you like. Because yeah, I mean, one, like you said, you know, with, you know, Deji's there and Akin, is he going to be there, and Ryan, I don't know. So either way, we're going to need to sort of beef up that back line a little bit. But I think if he didn't have the leadership qualities in him and he hasn't been a captain, I'd probably, some might think, you know, he might be on his way out a little bit this year. But I think he might get a benefit of doubt, and it's up to him to prove, you know, his worth in a way. He seems like, you know, on the videos that the club release, seems like he's, you know, a likeable chap, and he's good around the dressing room. Quite a funny lad. Can't remember why. I think was it the gravy bit or something at Christmas. But he seems like a nice lad. But yeah, it's his time to come in and try and stake that claim, because obviously Pearcey's not going to go on forever. And everyone else, obviously Alone's an injury. So it's down to him. But hopefully, as you both said, hopefully he can stay fit and he can prove to everyone that he's a good player. Because I think there's a good player in there. We've just not really seen it yet.
Lovely stuff. Right, one more thing that I asked Jacka about during press day today. Now, this was pointed out to me by Kyle Andrews, the club photographer, at some point last weekend. And I had no idea, to be honest. It's not a stat I tend to keep sort of up my sleeve. But we are on 99 yellow cards for the season already. And now, when someone told me that, so when Kyle told me that, I thought, well, that does sound like a lot. But, I mean, comparatively, is that just normal? So I looked at the league table, and in second place are Wigan with 81. So they are 18 yellow cards behind us. And then, you know, down to 78, Accrington, Stanley, 77, Sunderland. So we are an absolute mile ahead of everyone. We could comfortably hit triple figures this weekend, which is in its own way an achievement of sorts, I guess. So I asked Johnny, was he surprised by that statistic?
I am surprised by it, actually. I don't think we're a dirty team. We're certainly not encouraging my team to play in that way. I think we're fair. I think we're a fair team, and my boys compete. I know that much. Maybe that's something to do with it, that they compete. But yeah, I didn't know that stat. See if we can get the century up this weekend, then, shall we?
Is it one that you can almost wear with pride? Because you do something. So if you see a team that's too passive and not flying into tackles, I guess that's not what you want. But and also, we haven't had a suspension for a yellow card combination this year, so they've timed it quite right.
Right, yeah. If they're not, it's nice to be top of something as well. But if they're not costing you, and that's obviously good. Listen, you need your team to be disciplined as well. So we've had a couple of red cards that have cost us. You know, like Jaden missed a big period of football there. So did Sean Clare quite recently, and you know, that we missed them when they was out. So you definitely don't want ill discipline, because it will lead to suspensions. But I'm a bit baffled by that yellow card one, but obviously something going on there.
There we go. So surprising statistic, certainly, because, I mean, do you sit there and watch us, Lewis, and think we are the Accrington Stanley from a few years ago, like just a dirty old side just kicking teams off the pitch?
No, not at all. But it's quite
bizarre,
funny,
isn't it?
Well, at least we're finishing top of one table. But yeah, I mean, even last weekend, we did get four bookings last weekend, didn't we? But I think a lot of them, I mean, you look at our players. You know, Dobson gets quite a few for his tackles that he makes in the middle, so those last ditch ones. Stockley gets a load that I don't think he deserves. Like, he gets them for just contesting in the air. That contributes to a fair few. But I mean, even when I saw the stat that Kyle put out, I was massively surprised that it was not so much, you know, even that number, but just the difference between us and second place. But yeah, maybe there's something I'm not seeing, and we are just the Accrington Stanley of 2018. I don't know.
I mean, because if you're bottom of the yellow card table, in a way, I'd find that worse, you know, like if we were, especially if it's a season where you're struggling, because you're like, well, where's the passion? Where's the, you know, where's the fight to win it in midfield? You know, the odd missed time challenge to let them know you're there. So I'd rather be at the end we're at, but I mean, we have taken it a little bit too far. Although, as I said to Jacko, we haven't actually had a player miss any games for a culmination of 5, 10 or 15 yellow cards. They've always been at the exact time just after that the limit's gone up. So we've timed it quite well. And it is a lot better than just, you know, being the Gary Linekers of League One and not getting a single yellow card.
Well, imagine if we had Prattley still. I don't know what would be on now, but that'd be interesting.
The entire club would have been suspended.
Well, to be fair, like, I mean, obviously in games, I don't know if it's still the same, but I did know at one point if you had more than six or more players in one game who get a booking, you get a fine of like $20,000 or $25,000 or something. So I don't know if there's going to be some sort of fine for the club if you get over 100 in a season, then surely there could be some sort of disciplinary procedure or something.
I was hoping we get a little trophy.
Yeah. Well, we won't be winning the Fair Play League. But like you both said, when I look at us, there's sometimes where I'll be like, we'll just stop the play and give away tactical like fouls. But I don't really see that. So 99, I'm sitting here scratching my head going, is that league games or is that there's cups as well?
That's just in league games. In the
how?
League one.
I just don't understand.
It like, feel like it's physically possible.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jaden might get a few with, you know, when he puts himself about in Dobbo, but I'm trying to think, how else would you share out? So even like that's, what, nine per player, like first team player, like for the starting 11? Like, I'm just trying to think who else has got one. Does that include, they don't include Manic, well, Jacko ain't been booked, has he? Or he might, well, he got booked at Pompey,
yeah, Jacko's had the odd yellow card, maybe one or two. I remember asking him about one when
Pompey.
Anike, yeah, I can't remember, yeah, I can't, yeah that's yeah. The one. So top of the list is George Dobson on 10. Akin Bainwo's got 9. Gilby's got 9. Clare's got 8, and he's got his red card as well. Stockley's got 7 and got a red card. And then the list of players who go... I mean, like, Ben Watson's... Oh, he's played more than I remembered, actually. But he's only got 1, actually. That used to be his thing getting booked last season, wasn't it? Corey Blackett-Taylor's on 1 last week, although that was an outrageous yellow card. Matthews is on 1. Daniel Canu has played 8 minutes, and he's on 1. So he's helping to up the average in terms of cards per minute, certainly.
Has Hendo got 1?
Hendo, no.
Who else has not hardly played? Has got a random.
So the players who have played and haven't got one is Mason Burstow, who's played quite well. To be fair, Tyrese Campbell has made 2 appearances, but they add up to only 4 minutes, so he would have done well. Charles Claydon has got two appearances, and they add up to 1 minute, so he must have come on for 30 seconds in each. But he ain't got one. Deji Aliraway. Nothing for Juan Castillo, nothing for Scott Fraser, and Hendo and Macca, the two goalkeepers, haven't got any either. But yeah, an impressive array of outfield players have got at least 1 yellow card to the name. Of course, Harry Arter has got 2 to his name, one of which was during a game he was substitute and never even made it onto the pitch. So pitching in, he did his part. Right, let's return our attention to looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Lincoln City. Now, I mentioned, of course, they got to the playoff final last year. They knocked out Sunderland in the semi-finals. It was a really entertaining playoff semi-final up at the Stadium of Light to watch. They got through and played Blackpool in the final. They were beaten by 2-1. That was, their first year back up in League One. Since then, obviously, it hasn't gone quite to plan this year. They're sitting just 9 points, as I said, above the relegation zone in 18th place. So I asked Mark from the Lincolnshire Echo how he sums up this season.
There's a bit of frustration, really, after the high of last season and highest finish the club's achieved in 40-odd years and reaching the playoff final and playing some fantastic football to boot. I think there was hope that... I think, realistically, no one expected a repeat of last season because they're not as strong. The squad's not as strong. They haven't managed to replace the lone players they had. I mean, they had Brennan Johnson on loan last season and some other top loanees, and you can't replace players like that. I think there's been a bit of a frustration with the recruitment. A lot of the new signings, both last summer and in January, haven't worked out. And there's been frustration with some of the performances. I think a lot of it stems from the fact that they've actually got a very good record against teams at the top of the table and a very poor record against teams at the bottom of the table. So they can do it on the day, but they just haven't done it enough, really. Mm-hmm. And I think they've got enough to stay up, but it won't be by a great deal. And I think fans will be expecting improvement next season.
Yeah, I mean, given how close they came to promotion last year, I guess it's fair that perhaps people wouldn't expect a repeat of that because it was a fine season. But were they surprised by just how badly it's gone comparatively this year?
Well, I think there were a few mitigating circumstances last season. You had COVID and also the salary cap, which was still in force at that time. And that levelled the playing field. So no one was really spending money. And they got some really good business done early on. I think, and the club were quite open about this, the manager and chief executive came out and said, if we finish mid-table, that will be as good of an achievement as finishing fifth last season. But they haven't quite got that to that level. So there is, I think people would have settled for a comfortable mid-table finish, but they've sort of slipped below that. And the home record in particular has been really poor. And I think that's, if it had been the other way around, if the away record had been poor and the home record had been reasonably good, there might not have been as many grumbles as there has been. But the home record has been particularly poor.
Yeah, I mean, given it's a club that obviously historically has recently been in non-league, though, are they still quite happy to be at League One level? Does it feel like as a club they're sort of fighting above their weight, or is this the level fans expect to be at overall?
I think the fans who were with the club when they were in non-league are very grateful for the fact they're in League One, because traditionally Lincoln are a League Two side and have been for most of their existence, and obviously quite recently, as you say, been in non-league. You know, they were getting 2,000 fans when they were in non-league. They're now getting 8,000, 9,000. So the fans who've latched onto it, and I'm not criticising them, you know, teams do well and they get bigger crowds. That's the way it goes. I think that a lot of fans who've become regular supporters over the last 4 or 5 years are used to seeing a winning team, and they haven't seen that, as I say, particularly at home, and that's led to a few grumbles. I do think more fans are supportive of Michael Appleton than not. If you looked at it on social media, you'd probably say 50-50, but in the real world, I think there's more support than social media would suggest. And there hasn't been, despite the poor home record, it's not been particularly hostile at home for Michael Appleton. I mean, there could be odd game, there's been boos at the end of the game, but nothing major. And I think there's a lot of fans who respect the level of that. I mean, League One's so strong. I mean, obviously, as well as your likes of Charlton, who haven't found it easy, you know, Sunderland, Wednesday, Ipswich, Portsmouth, Wigan and Rotherham are very good sides as well. So I think people are realistic. I think they would expect the team to be in mid-table and not battling against relegation, which has been a bit of a concern over the second half of the season.
I mean, how would you rate the job that Michael Appleton has done overall? Because obviously he did perhaps have them overachieving last year.
Yeah, I mean, overall I do think he's done a very good job. He's brought in he develops players, he's brought young players on, particularly last season. You know, he came in after Danny Cowley, and that was a tough act to follow. And they stayed up fairly comfortably before sort of COVID cancelled the season. Obviously fantastic last season. I do think this season's stock has dropped a little bit because of the form, and there are question marks about the recruitment, although it's not 100% down to him, but a lot of the signings haven't worked out or haven't been consistent. But I think he's got plenty of credit in the bank, to be honest, and I think a lot of fans see what he's trying to do. People generally like the style of football. There are a few grumbles that they pass it around a bit too much at the back and then aren't as progressive. Suggestions that he's been a bit stubborn with his tactics. He's kind of stuck rigidly up until about a month ago to a 4-3-3 formation. But he's been away from that recently. He's played with wing back, he's gone 4-4-2. And it's worked to a degree. They've pulled out some decent results, which have kept them sort of 9 points above the relegation zone.
Yeah, and that is a decent buffer, and I guess the assumption is they will be safe, if not for the fact that Wimbledon and Morecambe can't seem to buy a win at the moment anyway.
No, that's it. I mean, they got a win at Wimbledon the other week and they were a little bit lucky, and Wimbledon missed a string of chances and Lincoln scored from their two efforts. But they have, which they haven't, they've done very little under Mike Appleton. They've managed to grind out a few results recently. That Wimbledon game was a case in point. They drew with Sunderland recently when they were under pressure for most of the game. So that's a promising sign. When they don't play particularly well, they've managed to grind out a few results. But yeah, as you say, I think they will stay up. But I think it'll be partly down to the fact that the teams down there just can't seem to pick up any points. I mean, you're usually looking at 50 to stay up, but it won't be 50 this season. You're looking at 45. One more win will probably be enough for Lincoln, and they might even have enough points already, to be honest.
Yeah, and just looking ahead to Saturday, who are like the main danger men that the Charlton fans will want to be wary of?
They've got a young right back on loan from Arsenal called Brook Norton Cuffey. He came in on January in loan. He missed the last game because he was on England under 19 duty. I'm sure finally he's come through unscathed. He'll come back into the side. Very, very direct attacking right back. He's only 18, a bit naive defensively, but you'd expect that for a young player. But he's a real threat going forward. And Mike Clapham, just whether it's a wing back or a flat back four, he likes his full backs to get forward. So he's been really impressive. And I hope they try and sign him on a season long deal next year, because they do have a good relationship with Arsenal. It depends who's fit. I mean, they suffered four injuries, three of which came off during the game last Saturday, and one sort of struggled and stayed on. So it might be a bit of a patched-up side, particularly in defence. I mean, John Marquez has scored some crucial goals since he's come in from Portsmouth. Be interesting to see if they try and sign him permanently at the end of the season. He's lacked a bit of service in recent weeks, but I think if you give him a chance, he'll put it away. And another loanee, John Marcus is on a permanent from Portsmouth, but it's only a short-term deal. And Luis Fiorini, midfield on loan from Man City. Been a bit inconsistent at times, but before the international break, he's just been away with Scotland's under-21s. He was in really good form, so I imagine he'll come back into the team as well. So he looks quite a promising young player. He just needs to find a bit more consistency in his game.
There we go. Thanks to Mark for giving us the lowdown there. I mean, it is still, for a club like Lincoln, and I hate using that phrase because, it sounds condescending. I don't mean it. But they are a club that I've seen play Bromley in a league game, you know, a non-league game. So for them, despite the disappointment of where they are this year, they must still be reasonably happy to be playing in League One, considering that the sizes of some of the clubs this year is never going to be like an easy task for them, Lewis.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've obviously, since coming up, they've been quite a good, consistent League One side. It's probably the worst season they've had since we've been in it. But they're a side that impressed me. As Nave said, they've got some really good players. They played well, last season. They were a strong side, a really strong outfit. They got a good manager in Michael Appleton, although you'd never want to challenge him to an arm wrestle. They've got a good squad. They've got Chris Maguire from Sunderland. He was someone that's really good. I mean, I like him even more because I think he scored a hat trick against Sunderland and did a knee slide in front of Lee Johnson, which I rate massively. They are a strong side. I've been surprised how poorly they've done this year, this season, to be honest. Given the players they've got and sort of the manager in place and everything, they've had a bit of a wobbler like we have, but still a strong outfit, good defensively, as Jacko said. So, yeah, I think it'd be a good test, Saturday. Both really got nothing to play for. So I think, as we said, both teams will have players that are probably playing for their futures next year. So I think it'd be a really good contest.
In fact, this is their third season back in League One, not their second season. So they've been up here for 1 year longer than I remembered. Michael Appleton, decent manager, back in the days. He's had some success throughout his time. And Mark said there possibly been a little bit of the pressure this year, but luckily for him, the majority of their performances have come at home. So that has helped and will give us some confidence going into, a home game for us where they're playing away and they haven't had the greatest of recent form. So I mean, we will have to look at that as a chance to, again, lay a marker down and take our momentum into this game and try and hit a team that hasn't been playing as well recently.
Yeah, exactly. I think I don't think they'll be disappointed. And, Mike Weppington's a good manager. Obviously, that, Lincoln had, back in the day when they had the Cowley brothers and moves that forward, Matt Reed, when they said they went on that FA Cup run. It's hard, like you were saying. You don't really want to say which Lincoln and, they're doing punching above their weight, which they are in a way. But then you look at their squad, it's not like they're, on a shoestring and, got a squad that's on paper, not as good as Accrington Stanley. But Accrington Stanley are doing unbelievable considering their squad. So, yeah, they'll be disappointed. They're not doing very well away from home. And as you say, I think it's time for us to, play at home, play with a bit more freedom, be expressive, get the players to enjoy themselves a little bit, have a bit of freedom, enjoy yourselves, get the crowd on side, which crowd always going to get on their side, but give us something to cheer about and just play with a smile on your face and you'll be massive relief when they'll just, you know, go from that run, that poor run that we had going on to the end of the season on that rich vein of form, and hopefully that will carry on to the next one. Difficult game, and like you say, they're good on paper, but so are we.
Lovely stuff. Right, well, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Don't forget, if you want to have your say on Sunday's show to where we have a look back at whatever happens against Lincoln, you can email us at studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live, or keep an eye out for the likes of Ben in the fans bar, or Lewis in the Royal Oak after the game on Saturday. Hopefully the boys will be around, microphone in hand, if you want to give your views on the performance. Make sure you go up to them, say hello, have a little chat, get yourselves on the show. Right, thanks to those of you who did have your say on this week's show via email and via tweets, and thanks to all of you who've listened. Thank you to Lewis and to Nathan for joining me this week.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Good to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.